And you and I had not talked, I think, for one of the longest times.
It was maybe 10 days. Right, because you were away.
I know, yeah. And it felt like a desert.
Yeah, it was
long
time.
So we just had to catch up. But I have this little thing. It's not exactly a conversation, but I want to tell the story because it's kind of, I want to share the information with everybody. So I didn't tell you yesterday on our phone call.
Okay.
But maybe I did. I don't know. So when I was out with my daughter in San Francisco, and then when I came back, and this was on American Airlines, we were 5 hours late. So
it kept getting postponed and delayed.
Well, it wasn't the weather. It was the fact that, like, a baggage cart slid in the wind and knocked a big dent in the side of the plane. And they had to send out people to measure it to see if it was okay. And they had to go back and forth. So anyway, when we're getting off the plane, the
flight
attendant.
Here in Chicago.
Yes. Right before we took off from San Francisco, he says, "Thank you for your patience. You've been remarkable. I suggest that you all write to customer relations about this." So I did the next morning.
To say what? I'm mad that the baggage cart crashed into my plane.
To say you were delayed 5 hours.
Oh, okay.
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 And I decided to do what someone told me to do one time. When you have an issue, try and suggest the solution.
Okay.
So I said, as a loyal customer of American Airlines, which I am, I would like to have some remuneration and would suggest 5,000 miles in my account.
Okay.
They put it in.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm thinking, I have such hot stuff. You know, ask and ye shall receive.
Wow.
Blah, blah, blah. So I'm telling Tom this story, and he said, "Well, I sent a note into American too," because he was 4 hours late from L.A. And I said, "Yeah." He said, "And I didn't ask for anything, but they gave me miles." I said, "You didn't even ask, and they gave you miles?" They gave him 5,000 miles too.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So
just be a wanker.
Write a courteous letter.
Did you write a letter?
Well,
a snail mail?
It was an email.
Okay.
You know, contact us.
Right.
Whatever it was.
Right.
Your comments. And it was the next day
that
we each heard from them. So, you know, salutations to American Airlines. No, seriously.
Right. That's
good customer relations.
They
were very responsive.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if Tom had gotten only 4,000 miles, then I would say, well, you have to ask for what you want.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe you don't. But I don't think it ever hurts. So I was excited that I did that.
Yeah. Good for you.
And I'm just kind of laughing at the fact that you did the right thing by writing a nice email. You got what you wanted. I feel like myself and other people around my age would have just tweeted to American Airlines, "Oh, geez. 5 hours late. Can't believe it. Thanks a lot at American Airlines." We would have gotten nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a response tweet.
Well, I don't know. These guys might have given you miles, you know, seeing that and given you. Well, they can't give you miles at your tweet account.
That I have been tweeted back by an airline and they've been like, "Oh, please, you know, direct message us and we'll." Delta was very good online.
Did they give you miles?
I don't do miles, so I didn't ask for it, but I just wanted to.
Why don't you do miles?
Oh my God.
I don't fly enough and I don't have any credit cards.
But you can get miles. You can get miles on credit cards.
But I don't have any credit cards related to miles.
Well, switch.
I guess I should.
We haven't brought her up very long.
I know.
In fact, I said to Tom, I said, "So if you'd known you would actually be coming in at 2 a.m. and they offered you either 5,000 miles or, you know, what was the other thing?
An overnight at the hotel of your departure place?"
Yeah. And he said, "I would take the overnight and wait for the miles and get the miles." I said, "Tom, it was 2 a.m. He said, "Well, maybe I wouldn't. I don't know."
Yeah.
So what would you do?
I tend, when I fly, to have limited expectations. And when I fly, I start out kind of expecting that the plane's not going to leave at the time it's scheduled to leave. Mm-hmm. So when it does, I'm so happy. And when it doesn't, I go, well, that's what I expected.
That's so, why I don't, you don't, if you can't, can avoid it at all, you don't do connecting flights.
I like straightaways if but I can.
You're flying to New Hampshire this summer.
Mm-hmm. I'm flying to Boston and getting a bus up to Salem.
Oh, a bus.
Right. Yeah, and it's 45 minutes. It's not a deal. But I just tend, when I think of the number of planes that come and go, and that there are so many things that could prevent them from not taking off at the right time, I don't know. I remember once having this conversation with a grandchild who was somewhat outraged that the plane left an hour late. And I just remember the conversation about limited expectations and travel, mm-hmm. that when you're not the boss of it, there's not much you can do, and it doesn't. And I think what happens a lot then is that the poor customer service representatives catch it. They're the ones that people go up and say, I have to leave at so-and-so. And they go, well, I can't do much. Or what's the great story where somebody goes up and says, you need to get me a connecting flight. Do you know who I am? And the customer service representative picks up the microphone in the waiting area, says, ladies and gentlemen, I wonder if any of you might be able to help this gentleman here. He doesn't seem to know who he is. Can anybody help him?
But that's a joke. That didn't really happen. Right. Okay. I always have to clarify it's a joke in case it wasn't.
It would be cool if it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Yeah. My favorite is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. When Steve Martin goes up to the flight attendant and he's like, F this, F that, you know, every other word, he's talking about his troubles of like missing the flight. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And she just looks at him and she goes, well, too effing bad. And it was like the most classic scene ever.
There you go. All right. Well, our number is 312-981-7200.
Oh, you know what? We weren't going to make a big long topic about that because everybody's had an airline story. So I'm sorry if we misled you. I wanted to ask you this question with Father's Day approaching. Somebody had asked me this week, and it was, what's the coolest thing you think your dad ever did? It doesn't have had to do with you. It can be anything. Like, I'll give you my example. I think the coolest thing my dad ever did was when my mom went out of town, and she had been fretting all summer. They lived in Manhattan, and they had a little terrace, and she wanted a gardenia plant. Which, you know, gardenias don't really thrive in the middle of concrete and smoke. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she kept, there are no buds on this. There's no gardenias on this. We paid $60 for this plant and on and on and on. So she goes out of town and she comes back into the house and he says, you are not going to believe what happened when you were gone. Come outside on the terrace and look. And the whole plant is in bloom. My dad had gone out and bought about 50 gardenias and paperclipped them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he bought another plant.
No.
Oh.
50 gardenias.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
And I just thought, you are my hero.
That's
sweet. I really love that. Yeah. Kristen, did you ever have the coolest thing that your father did?
Yes, I think the coolest thing my dad did was win the 1994 bid calling contest at the Illinois State Fair.
He won it.
He was the number one auctioneer in the state of Illinois.
Ooh-wee.
Were you there?
Yes, I was there. And then I remember we got to go have a fancy dinner on the roof of some hotel in Springfield with Governor Jim Edgar was also at this dinner.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool.
It was
very
awesome.
That is cool.
I was so proud. I'm still very proud of my dad. I can always say my dad was the number one auctioneer in the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, our number is 312-981-7200. What's the coolest thing your dad ever did? Give us a call. Again, it's 312-981-7200. I want to remind you about something. I'm going to remind you about Espoma. For the highest quality, most effective, natural and organic products for your lawn and garden, go with espoma. It's a natural in the garden since 1929. With espoma, you'll grow more abundant vegetables and bigger, more beautiful flowers. They're all organic, safe for people, pets, the environment. Espoma offers organic potting soil, rich blend of the best ingredients that grow stronger roots. For larger, more beautiful plants and flowers, you will be seeing the difference. Ask for Espoma by name at the growing place in Naperville and Aurora and participating Ace Hardware stores. Espoma, the original organic.
This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Al Ader on the hunt for the best baseball bites. Tune into Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Kathy and Judy back, and we're talking to you about what was the coolest thing you think your dad ever did? And this is Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
How's it going, girlfriend?
All right.
Good. Tell us what your dad did.
My old man kept me out of school one day when I was, I think, 11, to go see a big helicopter pick up an air conditioning unit and set it on a roof site. And he got me a ride in the helicopter.
Oh, that is cool. Did your mom know he was going to do it?
No, and mom would keep me out of school once in a while, but it was unheard of for dad to do it. I mean, that was just verboten, but he did it, and it was just the neatest thing.
That's cool. He had just heard that that was going to happen and thought it would be a neat thing to show Kevin.
That's pretty much it.
All right.
That's neat.
Thank you, Kevin.
This is Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Hi. I just wanted to say I was raised in Wisconsin in the 1950s. We had very, very little money. My dad worked on the railroad. We had four kids. And my mother lost her solitaire diamond at the beach. She tucked it safely into her tennis shoe at the beach. And came home, and it was gone. And so, she never thought she'd get it back. And he went to work on the railroad one day, and she went, and there was a solitaire diamond on her pillow. And brand new. And I thought it was the most romantic thing I'd ever. I mean, I was probably, I don't even, my sisters don't remember this story. I don't know how old I was. I just remember thinking, oh, my dad is the coolest. And they're both gone now, and I have that diamond.
Oh, how sweet.
Very sweet. Don't go to the beach.
I won't. But you just brought up a wonderful memory.
Great.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing it with us, Joni. And this is Connie.
The coolest thing your dad ever did, Connie?
Well, my dad did lots of cool things, but one of the things I can remember was when I was in high school, I was on homecoming court, and it was always at the football game, and your dad escorted you across the field to the crowning.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad had to go out of town on business, so when the time came, he wasn't there, so one of the other dads, was going to walk me across the field with his daughter. And as we started across the field, I see my dad drive right up onto the field and come running out and made it and walked me across.
Oh, that is neat. That's very neat.
It was really, really sweet.
Are there pictures, Connie?
I have pictures from when I was homecoming queen and my dad. But from that day...
Oh, we're talking to a formerly gorgeous.
You just have a lot of queen in your background.
No, I was lucky. I was on court, and then a couple years later, I was queen.
But how'd you hold up, Connie? You holding up?
I had brothers in high school that voted, had everybody vote for me.
No, how do you look now? Would people look at you now and go, man, she just hasn't lost it?
Oh, no, she hasn't lost the weight is what she hasn't lost.
Thanks, Connie.
Okay.
All right, have a good day, girl.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
This is Joan.
Oh, hi. First of all, I love you guys. I plan my whole Saturday around.
Oh, bless your heart. Thanks.
I'm ironing right now so I can spend. Anyway, in the 60s, we lived in the Lincolnwood, Sauganash area, Queen of All Saints, and my dad was very liberal, and I remember that the priest asked us all to stand and take a pledge that we wouldn't go to certain movies, I don't know, B movies, whatever they called them in that day, and my dad would not stand. And he didn't stop me from standing, but, of course, I stayed with my dad and sat instead of taking the pledge that the priest wanted us to take.
So that's right.
Yeah.
That is very bold.
And yet your dad remained in the church. That was just where he was going to draw the line.
I have to admit, my mom like forced him to take us to church because he really didn't believe in the whole Catholic thing.
Okay.
He was very liberal, and he was a different kind of a guy. But he took us anyway, so my mom stayed home and had some time off from four kids. But she was the Catholic.
Yeah.
She was the Catholic, but you were the one that had to go to church.
Absolutely.
So all right.
Love you, girls. Love you.
Very sweet. Thank you, Joan. This is Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Coolest thing your dad did?
Well, my father was a wonderful, funny, and inventive man. And when I was in my teens, he invented a player accordion. It played on piano rolls, just like a player piano, but he would stand there and just pump it, and Lady of Spain and, you know.
Polkas, every polka you ever could think of.
Yeah, well, you know, piano rolls. And there was a cabinet in front of him, and there were two tubes, one to a compressor and one, or you can play it on a vacuum cleaner. I don't know.
What a riot.
Together. And he would take it to this place on Archer called Z Place. And maybe this lasted 2 months. I don't know. And set it up and play at this bar. I just remember passing by Z Place and going, oh, yeah, my dad used to play there. Yeah.
Oh, what a sweet memory.
It was a wonderful player
accordion.
Oh, kids would hear, you know, it was a Chicago bungalow, so we had the basement windows open, and kids would come to the window, what's going on? Oh, my dad's playing his player accordion, you know. The only thing is you couldn't really take it anywhere other than Z Place.
Sure, because it was pretty cumbersome.
Yeah. But unfortunately, my dad died last year. He was 89.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's a sweet memory to carry.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he kind of would putter it, so he kind of took that one apart and puttered and puttered, and then he put together another one, but then his memory was kind of going. So we brought my son, who's an engineer, and his friend over to kind of like, hey, how does this, and we couldn't really get it back together again.
So it was a one of a kind.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, it's been a while since I've had a baby in my life, but and there are a couple fads or trends occurring now that I would love to have done with my babies. So for those of you that have babies or grandbabies in your life, I'd love to hear your feedback on these two things. One is eyebrows on babies. Now, most babies, unless their complexion is very dark or they have a big full head of dark hair, don't have much in the way of eyebrows. But some parents have taken to taking an eyebrow pencil and drawing eyebrows on babies.
And then posting it.
Just Google eyebrows on babies images. And Judy says it doesn't make her laugh. It makes me laugh out loud.
I give a smile, but you're such a good laugh out louder.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites is when they have one eyebrow raised. They just do one high and then one low. So any face that a baby makes is accentuated by that. And there was
one in there
where somebody put fake eyelashes, a set of fake eyelashes
like
up.
Two ants.
Like, yeah. Like pointing sort of in a surprised manner. I'd just be interested in talking to any of you who have done that, who have drawn eyebrows on your babies.
Or what about the other ones?
If this is sending you to your baby, this is the first you've heard of it, and you think, oh, I've got to go draw eyebrows on my baby. And the second thing is stacking Cheerios on sleeping babies. So you can do the same thing. You can do sleeping babies Cheerios. Let me make sure that's gonna come up. Sleeping babies Cheerios. Yeah, there they are. And just two images. And babies tend, when they're really in deep sleep, they don't move. And particularly, we know that because of the mornings you wake up and you go, the baby didn't wake me up last night. And you're going and the baby's sleeping. And you have to kind of shake them to make sure they're okay because they're so still.
Sometimes they can't move, Kathy. They don't know how to turn over.
Oh, I don't mean turn over. I just mean move their head or move their hands or something. So on sleeping babies Cheerios, the idea is, and some dads and moms are really good at it. They can do it. They can start the stack on the baby's nose. And the baby is so still. And then they put another Cheerio and another Cheerio. And on some of these, there may be 15 or 20 Cheerios on a sleeping baby that they got a picture of. So our number is 312-981-7200. Is this a trend that you
it's
have
a meme.
In which you
Isn't
have
it, you know, I've never quite figured out what a meme is, but I think I was re-looking it up today.
Okay.
It's like something that sort of goes viral that you see an image of and an image of and an image of. Well, it sort of becomes, it's the same thing as a trend in a way.
Yeah, I think a meme is something, well, I don't, is something that people then play with and change. You know, like the guy who changed the face of a baby. No, the guy that was tear gassing somebody right in the face at some demonstration in California, and then they move him into other situations. I think a meme often involves photoshopping. I don't think these baby memes, these Cheerios stacking on sleeping babies or eyebrows on sleeping babies.
No, those aren't photoshopped.
No. Not as far as I know. So 312-981-7200 is our number. If you have any particular response to this, or if you...
Or if, like Kathy, you want to do this madly, or you just go up to a sleeping baby in the park with
a pocket full of Cheerios. My sister Mary is in Dallas this weekend with her third grandbaby.
Now, does Mary strike you as the kind of person who would do this?
Mary might do eyebrows on the new baby, on Ryan. Yeah, she might. Mary's kind of a good sport. I don't know if Ryan's mother, Nora, would be up for that, but she might. It doesn't hurt a baby. A baby's not even aware that they have eyebrows penciled in on their face. They don't know that.
So in society today, it's always about what's next, right? So after Cheerios, what's next? Are we going saltine crackers?
Saltine crackers would be so easy.
You know, tuna cans.
Sam, it's got to be something hard.
M&M's?
M&M's would be good.
M&M's,
if you could stack more than one M&M on a sleeping baby. You don't have a baby, right, Sam?
Not yet.
Okay. Why? Is there one on the way?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah, because you want to let the WGN radio listenership know.
Right. All right. Well, 312-981-7200, we're taking texts and we're taking calls. Now, Bob Ferguson, you do not have babies.
No.
So I'm sort of interested in your take on these two fads, on stacking Cheerios on sleeping babies' heads and drawing eyebrows on your baby.
Now, what if the kid gets, 10, 15 years from now, finds it on the internet? They could be devastated.
They'll yell child
abuse.
It's
nothing that's horrible.
Exactly.
It's not like...
You shame me. You mock me as a child, as an infant.
Huh. So
I mean,
you're...
It's extreme, but...
Yeah, it's only going to get more litigious.
Have you seen the pictures?
I did see some of those photos,
okay.
And they're very funny, but like I said... Almost too funny.
All right. 312-981-7200. This is our kind of girlfriend. This is Barb. Hi, Barb.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Do you have a baby or a grandbaby?
I have three boys and a grandbaby, and I have a long history of eyebrow drawing and beards and mustaches.
So you did this long before it was popular on the internet?
35 years ago.
Did you do that?
I'm going to find a picture for you, but the first time I did it, my oldest was 6 months old, and I was home and I was putting on some eyebrow pencil, and I just decided to see how a mustache would look, and because he was being so good for it, I drew some eyebrows, and then I drew some sideburns, and then I drew a whole full beard.
Uh-huh.
Now, what has he said? 35 years old now.
Yeah, he thinks it's hysterical. He's waiting for my grandson to come home with the same thing on his face someday.
So you were way ahead of the curve.
Yes. My husband, when he came home, I had him wrapped in a blanket. And when he came home, I pulled the receiving blanket up over his head. And he looked at me and goes, bad day.
There's a hilarious one that I'm trying to find where somebody tied a bandana around the head of
the pirate baby.
Baby sitting. But they put on like a not a full beard, but like a droopy beard.
You gotta do something
when you're home with the baby. Well, that's hilarious that you were finding time to do your own eyebrows.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't done that day.
Barb, will you please try to find the picture and post it on the Kathy and Judy page?
I will.
Okay. All right.
Yay.
Thank you. And actually, we'll put a link on our page to both the eyebrow, babies with eyebrows, and babies with Cheerios. In the meantime, this is Tom to explain what a meme is.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Hi. Tom.
I'm fairly young. I'm almost 30, and I'm still trying to catch up with all the trends. But there is a meme generator you can download for your smartphone. It's a free app. And what it is, it comes with a bunch of pictures of usually celebrities or things that went viral, and you can add a caption to it.
Okay,
and
so how would you
adding your own picture?
How would you describe or define a meme?
Well, since we're on the baby subject, they have that picture of that baby that looks like he's confused, where he kind of tilts his head to the side and has his own tiny little baby eyebrow raised, and you can just add any kind of caption, anything that's. If Axl Rose was in the news because he's trying to get Google to take down the fat Axl Rose memes. Just Google fat Axl Rose memes and you'll get it. It's lots of fun if you have an office job and not a lot to do.
So a meme is an image that sort of takes on a life of its own on the internet that can
Once
be altered.
Yes, ma'am. You can add any kind of caption you want and it becomes hilarious.
What about do something to the image itself?
You can. I don't know if that's an actual meme. I know for a fact that the actual meme is supposed to be just a picture of a celebrity or something that's been viral with an outrageous caption that has nothing to do with it.
Okay, now because you're under 30, we're taking you at your word. So you're listening to our show. Now we have to find a little bit more out about that. What's going on, Tom, that you're listening to us?
I love talk radio, and I think you're very entertaining. And with just news, I think news medias are turning into like terrorists of their own. It's just horrible news around the world, and it's nice to get a little bit of refreshment, especially on a Saturday.
Yeah, uh-huh. We just
well,
like
that,
to.
Thank you.
Thank you. We like to have fun here, so
yeah,
we don't like to yell
the big
at people.
Topics.
No, you do a great job and keep up the great work. Huge
thank
fan.
You.
It always cracks me up that you guys are so shocked that people my age would listen to you. We've grown up with you.
You were forced to listen to us
when you were forced,
the back seat.
But we liked it.
Yeah.
Tom,
well,
what
are
you doing? Wait, I want to know about Tom because his name is Tom. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Judy is attracted to Tom.
So
right.
are you working at something? Do you work?
Today, yes. I'm a contractor.
Uh-huh. Oh, on Saturday?
Yeah, friends. You know, when you're the only contractor friend, everybody has favors, and so I'm actually just pulling up into a friend's house, and I'm just going to redo his floor before he gets home. It's a little surprise for his pregnant wife.
Oh,
well,
so
that's
do you
nice.
Now it's always awkward to do work with friends. Are you going to charge him?
No, I was his best man at his wedding, so. You know, we always figured friendship, you never measure, like, what the favor is.
Yeah.
You just do it.
It can be something where I just need to borrow, like, the car jack, and we're squared off from the last favor.
Okay. All right,
sound
Tom.
Like a great guy, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Have a great weekend.
Thank
you.
This text from Area 847, when babysitting our grandbaby, we put a wig on the baby. We took several pictures and surprised the parents with an album at Christmas. Got a picture of the surprised parents, too. Kathy and Judy back. 312-981-7200 is our number. We're getting some. You can text us or you can call us. Somebody texted meme, a humorous image, video, piece of text, etc., that is copied. Oh, I hate it when this happens. I apologize. We have a
jumpy text.
Yeah, exactly.
Line.
Meme, a humorous image, video, piece of text, etc., that is copied, often with slight variations, and spread rapidly by internet users. So Kristen showed us a picture. Is that one of your little ones?
Yeah, it's my niece.
Your niece, right.
I'll post it on our live blog.
Okay, just a picture of a baby looking grouchy, and other people put different captions on it. So that's basically what a meme is. But some other variations. This is in response to the question about our being surprised that there was a 30-year-old listening. Hi, my name is Brandon. I'm 30 and I'm a listener. I only listen to talk radio and I'm a cable repair tech for AT&T DTV, but I do a lot of driving. At first, I wasn't sure about the show when you guys came back 2 years ago, but you grew on me because you girls crack me up. Remind me of my goofy mom. I love her. So somebody was asking me about our show the other day and said, I don't think I've ever heard it. And I said, I think your mother probably has. So
you're always safe with that.
Right. One of our girlfriends from 773 sent us a picture of what apparently our grandchildren mistake made was using permanent marker.
Oh,
my 4-year-old started crying when it wasn't coming off. She asked me, Mom, am I going to grow up like this? And it's a picture of her baby and her 4-year-old. My husband and I were dying laughing hysterically. We are awful. And they painted like frowny uh-huh. eyebrows on both kids. So thanks to all of you who are jumping in with these great stories. Yes.
Now you do stuff that's kind of off the wall.
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. With your grandkids, I mean, you let them do whipped cream fights and all
in
this
the bathtub.
Yeah,
the shaving cream fights in the bathtub. Actually,
Were you ever tempted to either with your own children or with your grandchildren to do stuff?
Not
like
with
this?
My own, but with my grandchildren. I have a picture of Mick and Triss one time when they were at my apartment. They were probably, I want to say 5 and 7 or 6 and 8. And I had stickers with letters and numbers, and there were stickers all over the wall behind them. But then we thought it would be funny to make mustaches on them. So we made mustaches on them. And I can't remember what I used.
Maybe I used an
eyebrow pencil. Yeah, but I mean these two little...
Or if you were wearing black lipstick then, if that was your look with that hairdo you had that
two
time.
Two sweet little boys with... that was at a different time. With little mustaches on them that their grandma drew. So, yeah, I'm certainly not averse to it.
Did you wash it off before they went home to Colleen's?
I'm not sure. I think Colleen kind of knew
that you defaced her children.
That stuff went down when her children were with me. In fact, I'm about to take the last grandchild, who's 14. I mean, it's not like they're babies anymore. I'll be gone for a week in July when I take Ian on his post-graduation trip.
Yeah, if you're a grandchild of Kathy's, when you graduate 8th grade, you get to go on a trip with, what do they call you, Granny?
Gmo.
Gmo.
Right.
With Gmo.
Right.
And where have the destinations been?
Italy, 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 Italy.
Oh, all of them.
All of them.
I don't get it.
No, I mean the two boys whose last name is Bucaro.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of get that. But the two whose last name are O'Malley, you know, I might have thought Ireland, but nope, they're going to Italy. So am I.
And so are you.
And so am I. So.
Oh, I forgot to tell you the name of the shoes I was trying to tell you about.
Okay.
Bernie Mev. Look them up on Zappos. The shoes that are soft on the sides.
Oh, okay.
They're really cute.
Based on my bad feet.
Yeah.
There's that.
Wow.
This is from our girlfriends on the text line. There's another one to look up. And it's when the grandparents are taking care of the baby and they put the baby on a cookie sheet and make it look.
Slide it into the oven. Oh, you are a fool for foolishness. You're a heartbreaker,
dream maker. Good one.
Pat Benatar. Let them have it. This is the best. This is, I don't know what movie I saw where someone had their heart broken. I'm watching a lot of French movies, and they don't always turn out so well.
Mm-hmm.
So it might have been one of those.
Okay.
You know, where they were just left bereft. but it was about breaking someone's heart. And I think in my experience, which has been on both sides of the line, and I wouldn't say one is worse than the other, but I think you can get over being broken up with more readily than sort of recovering from having been the breaker, someone's heart. And I just wondered if you could go back and do it, how would you do it differently?
This is from our girlfriend in 630. Boy number one brought me home late to find boy number two waiting to go on date number two. Boy number one sent me a card. The bus leaves at 1:30. Inside it said, be under it. I never tried to schedule two dates in one day again. So,
but be under it. And the funny way he broke off, but he was the one that had been cheated on.
Yes, right.
Because the second date always knows that you've got a first date.
Absolutely.
First date doesn't usually know.
From 847, I have to say I broke my first love's heart. 29 years later, he came back into my life. We're now happily married. Wow.
Is there more on that text?
No, there's not.
I mean, you're not limited to 144 characters.
No, this from 574. I broke up with a very lovely girl, and I am so sorry for that, back in high school. And I guess that social had to do with it. Maybe society or maybe class or something like that. I don't know. But still, I don't know how long ago high school was for this person, but he still feels
sorry.
He's still
feeling and in my own experience, and then we'll get to Jane's call. In my own experience, I would say in one case, I broke off really, really slowly. And it was like, this is like Band-Aid analogies.
Right,
I did that really slowly. And
Did you just start being kind of mean to him?
Oh, I don't know. You know, we went to couples therapy, you know.
So he knew everything wasn't perfect.
Oh, yeah.
He knew you weren't blissful.
Things hadn't been perfect for a long time.
Yeah.
Like many, many, many years.
Okay.
And then in the other case, because of that, I broke off abruptly. I didn't think I could tolerate longer and what would have probably been a significantly more compassionate break off. And I feel terrible about that one, too.
It always feels terrible. If somebody is crazy about you or loves you and you're not feeling the same way, I don't know that there's ever an easy way to do that. Hi, Jane.
Hey, Jane.
Hi, ladies. I love you guys.
Thank you. Now, this is not you, but your brother's story.
Or your story, too.
It's kind of both of ours.
Okay.
Can you talk? Are you on a speakerphone, Jane?
It sounds like you're far away.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yes. What were you doing before?
Nothing. I just was holding the phone lower.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. So here I am. My brother's 5 years older than me. And in high school, he was really smitten with a girl. And they had done stuff together in groups and stuff. And he loved her in a way you do in high school. Anyway, she kind of would lie to him, would say, you know, I can't go. I'm going to wash my hair. I have to go pick up my aunt at the airport, the usual things.
Right.
And he found out that she was lying to him and actually going out with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in grade school, and he sat me down, and he said, if you ever do this to somebody, be honest with them. He said, because it's not so much that she doesn't want to be with me, but the humiliation I felt with the way she did it.
Of having been lied to.
Yes, and then finding out. I mean, we live in a small town, and, you know, it was like everybody knew.
That's hard.
It is hard.
Right.
And so when I went to college, I was a senior in college, and there was this guy who liked me very much, and we dated when we were very compatible, but I knew it wasn't going to go any further. I didn't feel that way about him. So I had him come over, and I sat him down, and I said, listen, I don't think I feel the same way you do, and I like you so much, I respect you so much, but I cannot lead you on. I think you deserve a girl who's really crazy about you.
In a romantic way.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And he said to me, I was just so floored, he said to me, I hope I find a girl like you because I think you're really special, and I thank you for doing this. And I was just floored. I mean, I respected him. I cared for him a great deal. And that he said to me, I mean, that he said that to me. I was afraid he was going to say, I think you're terrible.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. And I was like, I didn't know what to expect. But on the other end, here was this nice guy, and he was great. And I just didn't feel that way for him. But I was honest with him. I remember from grade school what my brother said, that the humiliation is worse.
Do you stay in touch with him, Jane?
No, I don't. That was in college, and I was in a sorority. He was in a fraternity. If I would have dragged it out or done something or, you know, gone to different parties, but I said, you know, when I told him I couldn't be out or didn't want to go out, he would have known.
Do you ever wonder what
situation?
Do you ever wonder what happened to him? Or don't you think about him at all?
I think about him when I tell that story.
Why don't you look him up on Facebook?
Oh, I will. I will. That sounds like a great idea. And he was really, really nice.
Now, if you find him on Facebook, what will you do?
Nothing.
You'll just be, will you look at his profile? Will you see if he's married? Will you see where he lives?
Yes, I would do that. But I'm happily married 35 years, and that was forever ago. And we dated. It was a different time. I don't think we'd have anything in common. If there was a reunion, you know, for college, I went to Northern. There was a reunion of some sort, and he was there. I would be delighted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't seek him out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, again, that's leading him on.
Well, I think he's over me by now. It's 35 years that I wasn't.
One hopes.
You know, I mean.
I don't know.
Yeah, one hopes. All right. Thank you, Jane, for the call.
Okay.
You don't know what.
Thank you.
Speaking of Facebook and looking people up on Facebook, I had to break up, and his heart's not broken, I'm sure, with my high school boyfriend. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, he has become, we have become polar opposites politically. And recently on some post that that I made that I think was non-political, he has a tendency to jump in on anything and, you know, say thanks Obama or whatever it is. And finally, I said on a comment, I think it would be smart for us if we unfollowed each other, not unfriended each other, just unfollowed each other, because my beliefs make you crazy and yours make me crazy. So let's just not look at each other's posts. And he said, that's a good idea. And the other day he commented on one of my posts.
So couldn't help himself.
Guess who got unfriended? I can't remember the name of the woman that we just talked to. Was it Connie? I can't remember.
No.
We asked if she had looked up the old boyfriend that she broke up with. And she said no. She said, I just looked him up. Looks like he has a delightful life. Everything I had hoped for him. He's still cute, too.
Oh, yay. We're talking about breaking up with someone and
breaking
their heart and maybe wishing you could redo it the way you did it. This is Anna on line one. Hey, Anna.
Hi. I should have used an alias, but no one will know him.
Hi, Rhonda.
So long ago. Hi, Rhonda. Yeah. You know what? I told your producer, I love listening to you guys because you make us think about the past, you know? And then,
well, we all have no
listen
future,
to Kathy
right?
and Judy and live in the past.
Right. And I have thought about this guy so often, but we were in high school and he was going to another high school. And I really only went out with him for a day for the prom. But, you know, I guess he liked me way more than I liked him, because when I broke up with him, he said, if you break up with me, I'm going into the Peace Corps. And I was like, good.
Ow.
Wait, you went with him to the prom?
I was a nice person. I'm like, that's good. I'm glad you're doing that, you know. And he thought that, you know, I'd call him.
That threat, right.
It was a threat. And I often think to myself, I wonder if he did.
Oh,
no. It would have been good for him.
Anna, wait. You only went with him to the prom only? That was all you did?
Oh, no, no, no. We dated for then about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Originally, you know, I...
What'd you say when you broke up with him?
I didn't want to go out with him anymore.
I don't want to go out with you anymore?
No, you know, I don't remember. It was so long ago. The only thing that I had given him a gold chain, and it was mine originally. I'm Italian, you know, all the girls wore the gold chain.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, ooh, why did I let him keep that? Because he wanted to keep it. like, ooh, why did I let him keep that?
Wait, but, did you ask for it back? And he said, I'm going to keep it?
No, he said he wanted to keep it to remember me by, you know, and I said, okay, you know, and so that's what he did. Now everyone's going to know who I am. But, yeah.
Oh, so yeah, it's Anna.
Yes?
No, she's
I'm saying, I don't think
mimicking
they're going to know
some,
who you are.
Somebody who knows who you are.
But, maybe he's listening.
I'm going to look him up on Facebook. That is a very good idea.
Absolutely. It's easier to look up a guy than a woman because his name's the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Check it out and send us a text, Anna, and let us know what you found out.
Okay.
All right.
Good hearing you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
312-981-7200 is our number. We're talking about when you broke up with somebody, how do you think you might have done it differently? Or did you do a nice job of it? Mary.
Actually, okay.
It's Rhonda.
I just have the ultimate breakup guilt trip.
Okay. From how long ago?
40 years ago.
Oh, my God. Are you Catholic?
Was.
Okay. Okay. Some aspects remain. Right.
Okay. Well, here's the deal.
Okay.
I was engaged. I went with this person 4 years. Mm-hmm. I had my wedding hall. We had the wedding hall. I had my wedding dress picked out, had the down payment on the hall, all that kind of jazz. And he was in the service, which is even worse. But yeah. So then I met someone else, and I gave him the, the heave-ho, but not, you know, immediately. So anyway, what happened was, after so many years, when my husband died so many years ago, and then I didn't, you know, I still am not looking for anybody, forget it. But anyway, 3 years later, I kind of like was wondering, you know, gee, I wonder if he's still alive or what's going on with him, blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah. And because of the web, so I looked him up. And on the very day that I looked him up, he was being buried. His obituary Ooh. Was there. That same day. And then I went by my best girlfriend's house to tell her about it. And I actually started retching. I mean, like dry heaving. I was like, well, this is so
Why?
Weird. And I'll never forget it. And I just,
Why? You don't
I
think
don't
you caused his death?
About.
Wait. You don't think you caused his death?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You
don't think
you caused his death.
Oh, no. He was married and divorced and all that kind of thing. But he did. I did look him up on the very day that he was being
right.
buried. I could not. And, I mean, I didn't. Out of the blue, I get this idea. Well, I'm going to see what's going on with him, you know? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. Ooh. But the breakup, did you handle the breakup, even though it was a hard one to have, did you handle the breakup kindly, or did you have to do it in a letter and Soldier
well,
Boy was
I,
left?
I
know.
Did it kindly, but it didn't matter. I mean, he brought over the like our dishes and stuff and just threw them on the ground and broke them all up.
Oh.
And, so, I mean, he was. But I know that he ran into one of my girlfriends so many years later after he got divorced, and he asked her about me. He says, how's she doing? Or blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. But anyway, so I feel guilty to this very day about it.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh, Mary. But you feel guilty because it didn't work out romantically and you broke it off.
Yeah. No, because
Wow.
he was such a nice guy. He was such a nice guy.
Okay.
I know, but marrying a nice guy
right.
just because he's
a nice guy is, that's,
and you're not in love would be a big life mistake.
Right. You did you both a favor. I mean,
all is
what else are you guilty about, Mary?
Like I said, he was a wonderful person. I mean, he would just do anything for me. He would,
no, Kathy's asking to have other subjects. She wants to convince herself you're still Catholic.
I guess. But the fact that I got on his very day of being buried.
Right.
Whoa,
you looked him up.
Yeah.
Is this message coming?
No, it's not a message,
you're
Mary.
Still Catholic.
It's not a message. It's a message from the universe that we're old and our friends are dying. That's the message.
No, you're so right.
Okay. Music to my ears. Thank you, Mary.
Really, so.
come on. Let's talk about sex,
baby. It's not Thursday. That used to be our big day for talking about sex. But I would just ask, if you are married, to give us a call. 312-981-7200.
Is this a trick question?
No, it's not a trick question at all. But perhaps maybe you would like to be frank with us, or Mike, or Bill, or Susan, or whatever, to be honest with us about a very personal question. And if
so, use Rhonda or Vince,
or use a fake name. If
and you got to be married.
Yes, you have to be married. We're not talking about long term togethers. We're talking about people who are actually married, and probably the longer the better. 312-981-7200 is the number. While we're waiting for those calls to pour in, I just would like to refer you to our Kathy and Judy page on Facebook. I know that a lot of you are girlfriends there. I think we have a nice number of likes. It's over 7,000. So that's nice, because we've never begged people to like us. But a lot of you have done it of your own volition. And
They ought to have a like and a tolerate.
Like they've changed all of the like options. Anyway, we posted a picture this week of the two of us in the garden back on the other side of the White House when we went in May of 97. May of 1997. I think one of the minders, one of the, because we weren't allowed to go out in the garden on our own. There, you know, one of Hillary's people was with us, but Hillary Clinton was kind enough, and I'm sure they have lists everywhere. We had her on our show in 1996, right during the convention, when she was here for the Democratic convention. And several months later, an invitation arrived inviting us to lunch at the White House, and it was lovely. It was a luncheon that some magazine was honoring Women of the Year or something. We weren't the honorees. We were just the guests. And it was lovely. It was really sweet.
It was very thrilling.
Yeah, it was fabulous. And we both wound up wearing off-white suits.
Mine was lemon yellow.
I know. That's kind of off-white. They're light colored.
There are designers. Okay.
I beg to differ.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, check that out. Check out our pictures. We've got a lot of pictures on there. We just posted pictures this morning of babies with eyebrows drawn on them and babies with Cheerios stacked on them while they're sleeping. So back to the phone lines. 312-981-7200. This is a really straightforward question. We have one brave guy. And it's actually two questions. And we'll start with John. Hi, John.
Well, not girlfriends.
All right. Here's the question. Number one, how long have you been married?
I was once married for 13 years, and my new marriage is just over a year old.
Okay. Then I'll ask you for this marriage. How often do you have sex?
What time is it again? let's see.
1 year.
Well, to be honest with you, we did it this morning before I start work at 7 o'clock.
Okay, so that's today. How often do you do that? Do you do that every day?
Every day, every other day. Yeah.
Okay. So you're both.
For 4 years, I've been dating for 4 years. We finally got married, you know, last year. But yeah, the frequency is always there.
So you're liking your sex. How was it with 13 years?
That was a little bit more challenging because there was. After we had our children, I believe she lost the intimacy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of lacked in my last marriage, but this new marriage with my new wife is fantastic.
Very sexy.
We respect each other. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we respect and love each other more.
All right, great. Thank you, John.
Okay, bye-bye.
Coffee before sex. Wow.
This is Kelly, or so she says. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
How long married?
36 years.
Okay. How often do you have sex?
Rarely.
Can you go back and point to a time, or was it just a gradual tapering off?
Gradual due to some health issues on his part.
Okay.
Are you angry?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't understand why at first, and he, of course, was...
Didn't want to discuss it.
Know, yeah, right. I'm uncomfortable about it.
Right.
But, you know, we've been together since we've been 16 years old.
Okay. So it was basically, as often happens in longer-term marriages, a perkiness problem.
No.
Oh,
not that.
Okay.
There's just some other health issues.
Okay.
But he's just
struggling with.
All right. So you seldom have sex now?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly. This is Marie. Hi, Marie.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How long married?
46 years tomorrow.
Happy anniversary.
We are just celebrating tonight. What? We have people coming, and I'm just making cheese trays.
Okay, does that mean when you said we're celebrating tonight, I thought that meant you're having sex tonight.
Well, he would love that, I'm sure.
Well, that's an answer. That's quite the answer, Marie. So, not going to happen?
Well, depends on how many drinks we have.
She's making cheese trays. She's busy. Marie, how often do you have sex?
You know, I think once you pass menopause, even though I love my husband very much, those hormones that were making you so horny years ago just are not there. And I think you have to kind of plan and make a concerted effort on my part to have it happen. And so maybe twice a month, three times a
month.
Okay.
Do you miss those hormones?
Yes and no. It probably would be nice to still have those hormones. I don't miss some of the things that went with that, you know, like your periods.
Right.
Before moodiness and that sort of stuff.
Before menopause, how often would you say you had sex?
Oh, probably 3-4 times a week.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate your candor, Marie. Thank you for calling, and good luck with those cheese balls. Cheese trays.
Cheese trays. Okay.
Nothing to do with balls.
Okay. Thank you, Marie.
We're going to celebrate cheese trays.
Woohoo! <Yay. laughs> This is Carol. Hey, Carol.
Good morning. How are you, gals?
Good. How long married?
August 2nd, it'll be 47 years.
How often sex?
Now, maybe twice a month.
Okay. See, I know couples, long married couples, some of them are still once a week, and some of them are falling into that pattern of considerably less. And I think a lot of people kind of beat themselves up about that.
No.
Well, how about Mr. Carroll? You can only speak for yourself.
Mr. Carroll is fine with it too. You know what? You get tired, and your hormones change. And you know what? We're still just the best of friends.
Yeah, and you're making cheese trays. There's all kinds of things.
Do you make out?
Do you make out?
Are you intimate in other ways?
Kristen wants to know if you make out.
Absolutely. We hold hands. We kiss. We laugh. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, see, yeah. And I all think right. Making out is the first thing that can go away because you have the option of sex. And I think making out is a really intimate. I mean, sitting on a couch and necking.
It's sexy.
It's very hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool thing to do. And not have it lead anywhere, which is can be physically hard sometimes and difficult.
For him, more.
Right.
Right.
Hurtful. But even sometimes. Right. I've heard.
Right. Well, 312-981-7200. We have plenty more calls from people who are married.
Baby, I love you. Girl, I love you. Just the way you are.
That so wouldn't work with me.
Oh, Barry. 312-981-7200. It's Sex Thursday on Saturday. Haven't done it in a while. Just asking our girlfriends and guy friends who are married to call and answer two questions. Hey, Tony.
Hi.
Hi. How long have you been married?
2 years.
Okay. And how often do you have sex?
3-4 times a week, depending on if we can squeeze in an extra day together.
Okay. All right, so that's been your 2 years.
Yes.
All right.
And I would like to say this. I'll be, I'm in my 60s. My wife is late 50s.
Okay, so is this a second marriage for both of you?
Yes.
Okay.
And in your long-term first marriage, how is it going?
What was the frequency down to in your long-term marriage?
Oh, man, sporadic, probably over a year, maybe 10, 12 times a year.
Okay, maybe. So once a month, about once a month.
We would go a couple of months sometimes without.
Okay. Yeah. Well, glad it's working better for you this time, Tony. Thanks for the call.
Much better.
You're okay.
Welcome.
Good. This is Casey. Hey, Casey.
Hello.
You know the questions.
Yeah, been married 44 years.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. My grandson's 11, so it's been 11 years.
Wait, you stopped
the
when
last
you
time
had
you had sex was when your grandson was born?
Pardon me?
Is that by mutual agreement that after the grandchild was born, you just kind of stopped having sex or interest in it?
No. On her behalf, maybe, not mine.
Ah, okay.
Oh, so she didn't want to sleep with a grandfather.
So, well, Casey, I'm curious. Have you ever discussed that?
I've tried to, but she don't want to even talk about it.
She doesn't want to talk about having sex. And yet you remain married and you're staying in the marriage.
Yeah. They get 12 grandkids now, so I don't know. I just.
So it sounds disappointing to you.
Yeah, I am. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
I tried to talk to her about it, and she don't want nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Do you still find her attractive?
Pardon me?
Do you still find her attractive?
In ways, yes.
Ways. I mean, like as long as the lights are off? Or right. What?
Sexually, you're still interested.
Yeah. As long as she would, but she's not interested in nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone's uninterested, that's very unsexy feeling. It doesn't make you feel real sexy, I'm sure.
Casey, thank you for being...
I know.
I
get pissed about it every day.
I imagine that listening, at least, you know, while it doesn't make things any better, it certainly makes you realize that you're not alone.
Well, that's why I listen to you guys, because I love your show, and the things you talk about are crazy.
Oh. Casey.
I was there when you first come on 20-some years ago, and I've been there ever since.
Oh, bless your heart. Wait a minute. Do we have something to give Casey since he's not getting any? Okay. A Lou Malnati's gift certificate. They're home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can go to one of their 40 locations, or you can order online with your gift card, okay? Stay on the line. And Kristen will get your information.
Casey, eat a pizza, and it will just make you feel a little bit better.
Right. All right, Casey. Don't hang up on us. This is Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
Ooh.
Remember, you decided to go by Rhonda?
Hi.
Hi.
How long have you been married?
35 years.
How often do you have sex?
About once every couple weeks, unless we're on vacation. And then it's at least every day.
Oh. So you like frequent vacations, or he likes frequent vacations, or you both do?
We both do.
Okay.
Well, wait. You don't have kids at home anymore.
No.
So it's just that the routine of daily life makes you feel less like you can handle it?
Right. Yeah, you just have more time.
Okay. Well, when's your next vacation?
Yeah.
Very soon.
Well, you sound excited. Rhonda?
Yes, all good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. Oh, look, here's another Rhonda. Hi, other Rhonda.
Hi. Been married 46 years.
Uh-huh.
And very interesting. We were just having this discussion last night.
In a pleasant manner?
In a post-coital way?
No, kind of unpleasant because we rarely have sex. And... he's still interested. I don't care. I mean, I could do without. And I know, just like the other lady said, a lot of it has to do with the lack of hormones. And there's just no libido at all. So it's
isn't there a pill now that you could take for women, like a Viagra for women?
It's bull.
How do you know it's bull?
Well, I have the internet. It's not nearly as effective as Viagra. Uh-huh. It's a different mechanism.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not the only problem. I mean, I have anger issues with
okay. Well, yeah, if you're pissed off at somebody, you don't have sex with them.
Right.
Right.
And it's funny because while I've been listening to your show, I was actually looking up marriage counselors.
But that's good.
He suggested it last night. I mean, we went through marriage counseling 25 years ago.
Okay. A little brush up course probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right, right. And so, you know, it's like, whatever. I mean, we've been together this long. I'm willing to try something. But
exactly. Well, Rhonda, thank you for calling and for your honesty. Good luck with that marriage counseling
thing. Yeah, I hope that really happens for you guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. And this is Kathy. Kathy, you tried the pill for women.
Yeah, I did.
How did you find it?
It didn't work for me. I really wanted it to because I don't have any issues with my husband. We have a great relationship, but I'm in menopause too, and unfortunately I've lost the desire that I, just the drive that
right.
I have. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get that back. And so my doctor prescribed it for me, and it didn't change anything, and I really wanted it to. So...
I have a personal question for you, Rhonda.
More personal.
Rhonda, here's an even more personal question. Okay? And you can say I'd rather not answer that. Have you ever tried solitary sex?
Yes.
And
how's that
going? Are you able to find satisfaction with that?
Yes. It's just that I don't have the desire for that or any other kind of sex, like it's
too much trouble.
I always say this.
I was single for a really long time. I was divorced for a very long time.
So you knew how to take care of business.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But then, and then I got remarried, and it's just the sex drive part.
It's not the same.
You had a caller, right, I got in kind of late on this, but you had a caller a while ago that explained that once you hit menopause, just the sex drive would weigh down, and that's exactly what happened to me. It had nothing to do with the drive or for my husband.
Or loving him, or right.
Or
right.
Loving guys or sex or anything like that. It was just like, it seemed to be a change in my hormone level. That's what it seemed to be.
Right. And it is hormone driven. Yeah. Well, Kathy, thank you. What's the name of that pill?
Ally, I think it's ALLY or
isn't that the
or something like that.
Isn't Ally the stuff that you used to take to lose weight?
Yeah, it's something like that. I can't remember exactly, but maybe I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the personal report. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Hey, I've been listening for 20 years as well.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye. Very quickly, Anne's been waiting for a very long time. Anne, how long married? Anne? Anne? Hi. How long are you married?
59 years.
Oh, my God. How often do you have sex?
At least once a week.
Okay. You go, girl. And finally, Carol, who has also been waiting. Carol, how long married?
Hi. I was married 46 years. But my story is my husband passed away and we rarely had sex. And I was on vacation in Florida this spring and I ran into an old high school friend.
Uh-huh.
And oh my God, it had nothing to do with hormones or menopause. I have never been so horny in my whole life.
Well, I guess we would say congratulations, Carol.
How old are you, Carol?
Yeah. Pardon?
How old are you?
I just turned 70.
Oh,
yay!
Bless you.
Go, girl.
Thanks for the call.